Welcome back. This is Alex Hates Everything. Today we're going to hate on the Oscars. Actually, we're not going to hate on the Oscars, but we're going to do a big recap. Today I got a special guest with me. I got my coolest friend with me, Devin. He also happens to be probably, I think, my only black friend.
I'm honored. If
that's related. Is that racist to say?
No, it's not. It's just, if it's factual, it's factual.
It's factual.
You got to diversify your friends a little bit, though.
Cool. So, Devin, what's your Instagram? Because you have like 1,000 followers.
I do. DSAX10, DSAX10.
Okay, so follow, if you're listening to my 4 subscribers out there, follow DSAX10 on Instagram. So thank you to SpeedStick for sponsoring this podcast today. Cool. So Devin, let's start with this. Give me your overall, what'd you think? You saw the whole thing. Yeah. You saw all 3 hours.
Yep.
Just any, what were the first, what are your initial thoughts, overall impressions?
Overall, I enjoyed it. I thought the coolest thing about the Oscars this year was definitely how everybody was focused on representation.
Yeah.
It felt very genuine. There's just a lot of passion in the air. I feel like at times, if it's not done properly or like eloquently, you can sort of get lost of just being seen as just talking on a soapbox type of deal. And I didn't feel that action at all.
It wasn't too much, mm-hmm. right? And I think what I remember is the Kumail Nanjiani and Lupita Nyong'o. They're talking about the Dreamers. They're talking about DACA. Mm-hmm. They never once said DACA or any mention of it. Mm-hmm. So very tastefully done, right? But mm-hmm. still making a statement. That's what the Oscars is about, right? A platform to move forward your own positive agenda points, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Cool. What do you think, if we're talking about diversity and inclusion, should we talk about the Me Too movement?
Yeah, sure. We can jump right into it.
Yeah, I guess we're just going to jump right in. Right? So I guess the biggest... the best mention of that, what, Frances McDormand's speech?
Oh, yeah, I'd say that. Yeah. First, let's get out the awkward moment about how awkward her laugh is.
Let me play it.
Yeah, please do.
I want to make that a sound bite, so just press a button.
She was so fired up and, like, excited, obviously, because that's such a huge accomplishment. So, yeah, congrats to her again, but... It was cool. I mean, having everyone stand up in the room and like addressing all the big like people in the room, just saying, "Hey, look at whoever's standing up. We want ours," type of deal.
Definitely.
And, yeah, it was cool. That was definitely a highlight. And I mean, every female presenter, when they were listing off the nominees, they would go the extra mile of like notifying every woman nominee, and I thought that was really cool.
Did you see the part? What's it called? The Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
Who are the other two?
Oh, my goodness. I can see their faces. I can't remember the names right now.
I didn't see that part. I think I was playing on my phone. Ashley Judd and Annabella Sciorra. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did they do? What did they present? I'm not sure.
It seemed like each person was kind of giving their... I kind of was like half paying attention to.
Yeah, it's a long show. Really long show.
They both were like talking about just the woman experience and
gotcha.
Not what it sounded like. Hopefully I don't make it sound like I'm just brushing that under the rug. But
yeah, speaking of I think this is a good segue. I thought Jimmy Kimmel's funniest joke was when he was like, 2017 is going to be the year men screwed up so badly that... Sally Hawkins got with the fish man or something in Shape of Water.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That is good.
What'd you think of Kimmel as a host?
He's good. He's always good at those type of things. I think it's like a safe pick.
He's like, safe. He's got enough self-awareness.
Right.
I can't say he's like super funny.
Yeah.
I think Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah. Show,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Also, he's... He doesn't behave
at all.
Yeah,
which I think. I mean, yeah. If you're appealing to the masses, you have to go. You have to go Jimmy. But for more talked about like shows, you go with like Ricky Gervais type. I think.
Gotcha. So what I wanted to do is go through. Before we do that,
okay.
Did you see the E network covered the red carpet before? I didn't watch any of it because, I mean, the Oscars itself, 3-hour show. Did you see any of that?
A little bit of it.
So did you see the awkward moment between Ryan Seacrest, who is currently in a, I think he's embroiled in a lawsuit, sexual.
No, I missed this.
Lawsuit. Yeah, with one of his former, I think like a hairdresser or something, or a makeup person.
Yeah.
So there's a couple awkward moments. Taraji P. Henson, she made a few digs. I think she said something like, the universe has a way of getting you back or something like that.
And then
when she moved on to be interviewed by somebody else, she was like, oh, I feel great now that she's inquiring, something interviewed with Ryan now.
Hey, don't hold back. Seriously.
So yeah, that's the only noteworthy. I saw that in a lot of articles that I Googled this morning.
And I saw Tiffany Haddish, who we'll probably touch on later, like middle of the interview, jump out of her interview to hop over the velvet ropes to go hug Meryl Streep. I thought that was pretty funny. She seems just completely She seems so completely laid back and just taking in the moment and just soul first type of person. I like it.
Okay, so let's do this. I'll ask you this.
Okay.
Funniest presenters of the night.
Definitely Tiffany and Maya Rudolph were the highlight. I would love to see them do some type of project together because I think it would be great.
Why not? So there's no way they're going to co-host the Oscars.
No.
But I'm going to call this right now. They're going to co-host the Golden Globes next year.
What's her name? Tina Fey.
Tina Fey and Amy.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, as an Asian person or person, I would love to see more for love for the Asians.
Man. Yeah, it was not
I see a
anything.
Asian person
yeah, I don't think
on
it was
red carpet.
One.
I Googled foreign language films. South Korea. I haven't seen. I Googled specifically for Korea.
Mm-hmm.
We've been rejected for all of our past. We've never been gotten a nominee for best foreign language film.
Really?
Exactly. And I haven't actually even seen one from China or Japan or Asia in general since, I think it was like back into the early 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got Ang Lee. Ang Lee's won a couple. He's got two wins as a director for Life of Pi and Brokeback and a nomination for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That's really it.
Yeah.
Where's our Black Panther?
It needs to happen soon.
Yeah. Seriously. Cool. So Maya Rudolph, Tiffany Haddish, probably number one. I would say my number two, Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah.
He had a hilarious joke.
Chris Pine.
Yeah.
That was really good.
That was probably the funniest joke, coupled with the delivery.
Yeah, that was good.
I laughed so hard at that.
He's really, like, just natural up there. I wouldn't mind seeing him host the Oscars, to be completely honest.
I would love to see him host it. Yeah, I would too. It's a tough gig, though, I gotta say. It's easy to criticize, but, did you see his movie? Did you see The Big Sick?
No, I did not. But yeah, I should have had that as like a little preface to the podcast. And I have not seen a lot of movies that were
all right. Devin,
were
right
nominated
now,
yesterday,
I was
going to
save this for later, but this is I got a pop quiz question for you.
Yeah, hit me.
This is what I warned you about. This right?
Oh, there
are very strict, stringent requirements to come in on my show.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, there were a couple actors who starred in two or more Best Picture nominees.
Mm-hmm.
Only one who was in three, and that's the first time since what's his name? So the last time somebody did it was John C. Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
He was in. Let me see what he was in.
Yeah, I think it was when Talladega Nights, Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, right?
Very
when all
funny.
Those are best pictures.
Very funny. Let me get it for you right here. I think it's Gangs of New York.
Oh, yeah.
Gangs of New York, Chicago.
And Boogie Nights, maybe?
No, Boogie Nights was 1998 or 9. Chicago, The Hours, Gangs of New York. And before that, nobody had done it since the 40s. So this year, we have an actor who is in three of the Best Picture nominations. So to make it easy for you, I'll give you the actors that were in two or more.
Okay.
Can you name any of those?
In two or more in 1 year?
More. Like this year. This year.
Oh, this year. Okay, so.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's eight, including the guy who is in three.
There was eight actors in two or more Best Pictures this year.
I could probably have named four.
Is Tom Hardy one? No, he's just in Dunkirk.
I forgot. He is in Dunkirk. I was going to scold you. But yeah, you got me there. No, he's not. So we got Timothy Chalamet, Call Me By Your Name, and Lady Bird.
Okay, the young guy.
Yeah, the young guy. Lucas Hedges, last year's Best Supporting Actor nominee.
Okay.
He's also a young guy. Lady Bird and Three Billboards.
Mm-hmm.
Got another young guy. Caleb Landry Jones, he plays the brother in Get Out.
Okay.
He's also in Three Billboards.
Right. He is. Yeah. He's the guy that sells the billboards.
Yeah. Good call. We got Tracy Letts. He's in Lady Bird and The Post. I didn't know that. Catherine Newton, who I don't even know. Nick Searcy, he's the general in Shape of Water.
Okay.
He plays, he's in Three Billboards as well. And then finally, our Mr. Three Ton here.
Is Sam Rockwell in like two of the other movies, but per chance?
Nope, he's not.
Gary Oldman, maybe?
Nope.
I don't think. Oh, yeah, I guess he wasn't even nominated.
Actually, I think he was nominated for something.
Yeah, he won Best Supporting Actor, right? Or no, sorry, he won Best Actor.
This actor.
Okay.
So it's Michael Stahlberg. It's this guy right here.
Yeah, I never would have guessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never would have guessed.
Call Me By Your Name, The Post, Shape of Water. He has two great roles in Call Me By Your Name, playing the dad, the supportive dad, and then obviously, of course, the secret Russian spy in Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bradley Whitford. He's in Get Out and The Post.
Okay.
Yeah, so you failed.
Yeah, bad.
Get out.
All right, it was good. Thanks for having me.
All right, cool. So I like to keep my guests on edge. You gotta study up.
Yeah,
I'm a guest on this podcast.
That was bad. I thought we were just gonna talk about the dresses and stuff, but I mean, I'm here.
All right, cool. So we were talking before we segued into that. I wanted to ask you about. We were talking about Kumail Nanjiani. Had you seen The Big Sick? Because I thought one of the best awards was one of the most stacked categories was Best Original Screenplay,
mm-hmm.
right? Which Jordan Peele actually ended up winning.
Yep.
I don't know if it was the best speech, but he gave top three, one of the best speeches of the night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, reactions, because Get Out is a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, again, to go back to the representation portion, being a black male and your only black friend, I was very happy to see Jordan Peele win.
Were you pulling for him?
Oh, absolutely. I wanted him to win something, like, you know, Best Director, Best Screenplay, or Best Picture, which was obviously the longest of the shots.
Yeah, I think in retrospect, this is the one he had the best shot of winning.
Yeah. Right?
I was very, very, I'm glad he won it now, but at the time, I was pulling for Lady Bird. I thought it was a great screenplay. Greta Gerwig also got nominated for Best Director as well.
She did.
There's no way anybody was taking that from Del Toro.
Yeah, no.
Cool. So were you happy overall with the representation that Get Out got?
Yeah, I was.
Probably with, I think, one award only.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for him to even go up there and be like, man, I quit this thing like 20 times, and to be up here, it's kind of a big deal. It's a great message to send to anyone and everyone. And then this has been such a huge year, you know, for the blacks out there. I mean, seeing that movie be such a huge blockbuster hit, and along with Black Panther being able to crush it in the like Marvel universe of all of the movies is great. So I think Get Out, I loved Get Out. I saw it maybe like 2 or 3 times in the theaters.
Yeah.
And thought it was just so, there's so many layers to it that
it is.
I was happy to see Peele win that specifically for a screenplay.
I'll say this, the speech was great because, I mean, the speech made me like him even more than I already do, mm-hmm. right? Because he pointed out, I mean, it killed it at the box office.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that they did not spend a lot of money on marketing. It really was a grassroots campaign to get, it generated $275 million.
Yeah.
I think that is top 15 this year. I looked up. So domestic-wise, so I'll read you off the top 10.
Okay.
Star Wars, Beauty and the Beast, Wonder Woman, Jumanji, Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man, It, Thor Ragnarok, Justice League, Logan, Fast and the Furious, Coco, Dunkirk. So those are all mostly Marvel or like superhero movies mm-hmm. where they spend so much money on marketing.
Budgets,
yeah, so it's great to see like an actually good movie, just a creative movie that this guy, you know, he's so, and he quit writing this movie 20 times, yeah. right? He's literally, it's soaked in his, it's not literally, but soaked in, it's got his DNA written all over it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's blood, sweat, and tears. And we need to see more movies like that out in theaters.
Yeah.
We gotta support more of these movies because I'm sick and tired of seeing, geez, how many, it's called Pirates of the Caribbean. How many of those have we seen that just suck? Transformers.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean, by the way, number 18. Get Out is number 15. It made more money than Pirates of the Caribbean.
Man, shout out Jordan Peele again.
Yeah, shout out Jordan Peele. I hope he's listening.
Yeah. He's at Speed Stick, Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. another great movie, Baby Driver. It's sitting at 28 there.
Mm.
They spent a little bit of money in terms of marketing.
Yeah.
But still, we need to see more one-off, like creative movies.
Yeah.
So sick and tired of these reboots.
Yeah, the reboots and
superhero
movies. Yeah, and the sequels.
Yeah.
Great cash grab. Keep doing that, but I don't want to,
So what's next for Jordan Peele? What do you think he's
going to
do?
He's got to keep creating. He's going to keep creating. I'm sure that'll... I've read a few interviews of him talking about like potentially making a follow-up for Get Out, which I would not want.
I would not touch that.
But he definitely wants to talk on different social issues and make these types of like horror, thriller, drama, comedy, you know, wherever they're floating in the spectrum type of film. So,
okay, so let's play a little agent Devin.
Okay.
Devin, you're his agent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Jordan Peele. What are you going to advise for me, or what are you going to advise for Jordan Peele? I guess I don't have to play him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to tell him, I mean, he's made a career out of, you know, comedy,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's clearly a very funny guy from
mm-hmm.
Key and Peele and Mad TV. Oh, by the way, probably the first time ever. Talk about like a unique story, right? I mean, what other famous Mad TV is
there? Seriously.
Bobby Lee?
Yeah.
Maybe? So what would you advise for him? Is it stick to thrillers? Are you going to say, hey, let's go back. Why don't you direct a comedy movie,
mm-hmm.
take a break for a while? What would you say?
Honestly, at this point, like
do
seeing his
want.
Career, he has every door open for him.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely has unboxed himself from that Mad TV sketch comedy guy. He kept doing sketch comedy for Comedy Central with Key and Peele. And now he has like an Oscar for best screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the world is his oyster. So I would just tell him to keep creating and then we can vet the process from there type of deal.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I would say, listen, this is clearly a passion project. He clearly was passionate about the social message. What are you passionate about next?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, can we actually make money out of this? Let's go get the financing for it after, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say something else. Jordan Peele. Yeah. So from the social pressure side. Any last Jordan Peele comments?
Nope. Yeah, that's all I have in my notes.
Right, cool. Jordan Peele. Okay. So I think what I'll remember about the Oscars this year, and I can't believe we're doing this late, no surprises, right?
Yeah, no.
All the heavy favorites mm-hmm. won. I think 538, I read an article, they predicted their winners. They nailed every single one.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah. Was there one you were, if there was one that was going to be an upset or a surprise, you know, like let's say Moonlight last year,
mm-hmm.
winning Best Picture,
yeah,
big surprise. What would you have guessed?
I thought there was a good chance they were going to give it to Daniel over Gary Oldman for Best Actor.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Mm-hmm. I thought there would have been a solid chance of that happening
really?
For an upset. But, I mean, Gary Oldman needed one. He needed one bad. I also, there's a huge a theme of people kind of like getting their due this Oscar rotation.
Definitely.
Like Gary Oldman. Del Toro. Allison Janney
yeah.
for I, Tonya. James Ivory. And for, I mean, he's 89 years old.
Is that the cinematographer?
No, the cinematographer is Roger
Deakins.
Deakins. Yeah.
I read that it was his 14th
yeah.
time not being nominated. He had mm-hmm. been snubbed 13 times prior.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who's James Ivory?
The guy that wrote Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, mm-hmm. oh, that's right. He won Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah.
What else? What's his resume? I don't know anything about James Ivory.
He's been in the game for a while.
Okay.
He's
the oldest Oscar winner ever. Holy crap, 89 years old.
Yeah. Room with a View. That one came out in the 80s.
Gotcha.
Maurice. That was with, what's his name? Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
He's got like a lot of love story type films.
Gotcha.
But, yeah. Oldest person ever win an Oscar. He was due.
I think the biggest person due probably, I think Del Toro.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro. Mm-hmm. It's the fourth time in 5 years that a Mexican director has won Best Director.
Mm-hmm.
So his two buddies, Alfonso Cuarón in 2013 for Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iñárritu for The Revenant and Birdman in 2014-15.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty amazing. Are you a Del Toro fan at all?
Mm-hmm. Hellboy is amazing. Pan's Labyrinth, amazing. Even Pacific Rim, very good.
I agree.
Like, he's good. He's just super creative. I don't know.
He's a nerd. He likes monsters and mm-hmm. stuff. And I would say, I think when we look back at his career, it'll be kind of like, and I mentioned this in my previous podcast, it'll be kind of like Scorsese winning in 2006 Best Director for The Departed.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Not anywhere near his best films,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be kind of similar.
Yeah.
His best film, Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, hands down.
By
yeah.
far.
Yeah.
Right? This is a very, very well done movie. I mean, they nailed every aspect of it. Being in the 60s. Just really, really tastefully done, too. Really well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it only, it's a benefit of it, in my opinion, a weak year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Latin representation. I mean, Coco killed it too.
Coco killed it.
What was your favorite performance?
Ooh, good question. I never really expect much out of the performances. Probably Sufjan Stevens,
mm-hmm.
the song from Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
Just because I like him. I would say that last performance from the, where they're all in blue from The Greatest Showman on Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of
with the lady. The lady
yeah,
was,
she
yeah,
was like,
she's singing her ass off. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a little, that could, should have been it. But
yeah.
They didn't perform well.
Yeah.
It sounded a little weird.
Yeah, because she was like sounding really distraught in the middle of it. Like,
Yeah, it seemed off pitch to me.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, overall, not a super, super memorable Oscars. And mm-hmm. I kind of mean that in a good way. Like everything.
It just went to plan.
Yeah, exactly. There were no scandals or controversies. Mm-hmm. Everything that won, I felt like I have no problem with that winning.
Yeah.
Right? I would have liked to see a couple more surprises. So I filled out a couple different ballots. I think I did pretty well in terms of my podcast selections for the previous podcast. Mm-hmm. I definitely got best director, I got best picture, best supporting actor, best, I got the screenplay one wrong. I got best adapted screenplay. I'm pretty sure I went with Call Me By Your Name. Mm. And then I got the two actresses wrong because I felt like being bold.
Oh, really? Who'd you go with for actresses?
I went with Laurie Metcalf for best supporting actress, who I thought had the best chance of creating an upset.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went with Saoirse Ronan, who I love. I thought she should have won it in 2015 for Brooklyn.
She's Lady Bird. Yeah, Lady Bird. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's no way. No one was going to upset Frances.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
She did a great job. My feelings on Three Billboards. I thought that was a very, okay movie. Mm-hmm. But her and Sam Rockwell were, like, great in the movie. Even Woody, too. I just thought it was an okay movie, but.
Yeah, I get that. I thought it was a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have minded if it had beat out Shape of Water mm-hmm. for Best Picture. I had much lower expectations going into it than Shape of Water, right? Three Billboards is a, I don't know where I was going with that. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Last couple notes here before we wrap up. Anything you want to bring up? Did we get everything?
I think we did for the most part. I would like to... I thought the theater thing was a disaster when Jimmy Kimmel goes in like surprises all the people watching A Wrinkle in Time and is like here and they're like trying to announce who's coming up and everybody's just going crazy in the theater and you can't really hear. I'm very particular about audio issues.
Yeah.
So that was.
I didn't see that. I think.
No, you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, but I read about it. You know what? I'm not a fan of that. It should just be like. If you're going to take little breaks, it should just be like you doing stand up, right? Going on like doing little monologues mm-hmm. here and there. Other than that, give some time back to the, let them go a little bit over with their speeches.
Right. Because they cut off Del Toro and crew at the end of when they won Best Picture. They like played them out quick. It was like Del Toro talked for 45 seconds and they started to play them off.
Exactly.
This is the last award. You guys can't give them a little bit.
Yeah,
I totally. Agree with you on there.
Interesting.
Any standouts? Any future stars that you see from?
It's a good question. You know the list I gave you earlier of the actors in two or more. Most of them were under 30.
Hmm.
Timothy Chalamet is 22. Yeah. Lucas Hedges is probably. I would say he's 24, 25. He's 21.
Wow.
Caleb Landry Jones. He's probably like 27. Really, really like Michael Stolberg, who is the answer to our pop quiz question. Mm-hmm. He's older, but yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good, especially considering. Yeah, a movie that I would love to see get a little bit more representation, Baby Driver, mm-hmm. excellent film.
Great film, super entertaining.
Ansel Elgort was awesome in that movie.
Yeah.
He did present an award.
With the co-star in the movie, what's his name?
Gonzalez.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel pretty good about the future. Should we look ahead to upcoming 2018 movies?
Oh, I'm all about that. Like lead nominees.
All right, we got Avengers Infinity War coming out later this month.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm excited to see that, but that's just, sort of the rinse and repeat of me being a Marvel viewer.
Okay. Rampage is coming out next month. I'm just kidding.
Can't wait. Mm.
Solo is coming out in May. Deadpool is coming out.
No, yeah, I'm very excited about Deadpool.
I don't think. Oh, The Incredibles 2 is coming out in June.
Yeah.
The remake of Ocean's 11, starring all females. Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. Sicario 2 Soldado.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I love Sicario.
The first one was great, right? The first
one was great. I thought it was a crime that Benicio did not get a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Yeah, that's absurd. I totally agree with you. Are they going to be following Benicio, or are they going to be following Emily Blunt for the sequel?
I don't think Emily Blunt is in it.
It's a completely different storyline?
I think it follows Josh Brolin, Del Toro, Jeffrey Donovan, who's great. Emily is not in it.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I can see why after the last one ended. She wouldn't be in it.
Okay. Let's see what else. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little too early to speculate, I guess. Most anticipated 2018.
And Venom with Tom Hardy's
coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, is that coming out late? And Venom is going to come out?
It's like in October, I believe.
Creed 2.
This year?
I think so, but what's this? Ryan Coogler is not directing.
What? I don't want to see it then.
Yeah. All right, cool. Then any last thoughts? Otherwise, we'll wrap.
Let's see. What's one thing? It's two things. One, back to Tiff Haddish. She made the promise. I don't know if you watched her SNL host this SNL.
I didn't. I didn't even know she...
It was good. It was a very good episode. She wore this white dress that she actually ended up wearing to the Oscars, but she says during the opening monologue, like, this dress was so expensive. Like, I'm going to wear it more than once. I don't care about, like, what's PC and what's not type of deal. And she kept her word, and that's the dress that she wore down the red carpet.
She looked great.
Yeah, she looked great. And my next guy that I would keep an eye on is Lakeith Stanfield, who was in Get Out. He actually did the whole Get Out bit with Jimmy Kimmel. He's another rising star that I'm very excited about. Because he's in Atlanta, too. I don't know if you watched that show. Donald Glover's show.
I saw the first episode or two on the plane.
Yeah. Definitely recommend to all your listeners. Please watch Atlanta.
Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Are we going to see him on the podiums?
Oh, absolutely. I think so.
We need to see him in a role. What's a role that you would love to see him? Or maybe there's a past role that you think he could have killed
him.
Or like, tough question, right?
That is tough. Ooh, I would need to.
He could do anything.
He could do anything. I could see him. I don't know what the first thing that came in my mind was, like, Fight Club. I could see him playing Edward Norton's role.
Really?
Mm.
He's very diverse. Mm. He's good at that. Cool. All right. Well, there was one thing I was going to ask you before I wrapped. I should really write down my thoughts. Yeah, I'm jumping all over the place. Okay, first. I don't remember, so we'll just wrap.
All right,
Devin, thanks. We'll have to have you back.
Cool. Aparecer 0 a 0.